Welcome to the WebSphere Support Technical Exchange. Today's topic is WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2 and Archiver. Today's presenters are Sandeep Deal, Archie Boudreau, and Usha McKenney. Sandeep has been working with the WebSphere Partner Gateway development team since July 2004. He has over 12 years of extensive industry experience. His experience, among others, includes creating solutions for enterprise customers using Java and J2EE middleware technologies, designing systems for performance, defining product-level architecture for B2B solutions. His areas of interest include performance engineering and solutioning for critical problems. Archie joined the WebSphere Partner Gateway USL2 team in November 2006. She brought experience from AIX and LAN server technical support and AIX IBM Director and Storage Area Network Testing. She is certified as AIX System Administrator, Microsoft Certified Professional Plus Internet, and Red Hat Technician. Usha has extensive experience in application development with focus in Java and J2EE and also middleware technologies. She has been working with the development teams of WebSphere Data Interchange and WebSphere Partner Gateway since 2007. She has developed the update installer for applying maintenance on WebSphere Partner Gateway. Her most recent publication includes Update Installer for Improving Fixed Delivery Process. At this time, I would like to turn the presentation over to Archie.
Good day, everyone. Thank you for taking the time to attend today's technical exchange. This presentation covers the new archiver and restore feature that is part of WPG version 6.2. Slide number 2. The goal for this presentation is to provide an overview of the enhanced archiver feature. The presentation also provides an overview of configuration and administration of the archiver and restore features. It also details the recommendations on getting a better performance from the archiver. Some troubleshooting tips in case of any failures. And of course, a deep dive into the functionality. Slide number 3. We will start with an overview of the archiver functionality. Let's flip to slide number 4. WPG is a business-to-business gateway product, which enables enterprises and their trading partners to exchange business documents. The intermediate documents during processing are stored in the common file system. WPG also stores the document activity and associated message details in several activity and detail tables. Some of the tables are common across, while some are specific to the packaging protocols used by the document. WPG also retains the non-repudiation data in a separate table and the associated document in a specific folder in the common file system. Over a period of time, as the data grows in the common file system and the database, it is advisable to archive, purge old data. The WPG archiver is a GUI tool and a single schedule task that provides the mechanism to do just this. Actually, I'm going to retract really quick what I just said a few seconds ago. I mentioned it's advisable to archive, purge all data. I'd like to emphasize it's actually highly recommended. It's a really excellent business practice to use archiver regularly. I kind of think of this like doing the laundry. It's much easier if you do laundry once a week or once every 2 weeks than trying to do laundry once a year or once every 2 years. And I have worked with customers who do not follow the business practice to use archiver regularly, and that really can cause trouble later when they choose to invoke archiver to start archiving their data after maybe a year or so. It's highly recommended, and I cannot emphasize enough for you to integrate it to your regular business activity in using WPG. Slide number 5. Let's continue on the overview. The Archiver Tool is a new enterprise application that is deployed on the WPG server cluster. As a result, like the business process engine and the document manager, Archiver is also now a part of the router. In a multi-machine setup, the Archiver itself will run on one of the servers. If a particular server is not running, the Archiver will run on any available server. Archiver uses the scheduler provided by WASP server, which in itself is quite robust. This also provides the ability to rerun the archiver task when the server is restarted. The new archiver functionality is better in terms of performance and reporting capabilities. It is a single task that does archiving and purging as compared to the earlier archiver feature, when you had to manually run different scripts on different machines to perform archiving purging. This is the old way. The configuration in itself is very easy for this new archiver and can be done from WPG console. And please note, all changes are effective immediately and no server restart is required. Slide number 6. The next session covers the configuration and administration of the archiver. Let's move to slide number 7. From slide 7 to 16, quite a big chunk, we'll cover archiver configuration and administration. Now on slide number 7, the archiver tab is available on the WPG console. There are sub-tabs for the archiver configuration and archiver report as shown here. Slide number 8. The archiver configuration is segregated into sections such as general configuration, purging, schedule, and criteria. The general configuration has the name, description, last execution time, next execution time, and the status fields. A user can also enable, disable the archiver or run the archiver on demand. On slide number 9, the purging session has the configuration, which determines the parameters for the archiver runtime. The data retention period is the number of days for which data needs to be retained in the system. All data beyond the retention period can be purged. It also has the option if the non-repudiation data needs to be archived. In this case, the non-repudiation data from the table is exported to the directory specified in the database destination field, and the non-repudiation documents are copied to the directory specified the file destination field. Here on this slide, I would like to take a good look at the screenshot, kind of like take a shot in your head so you remember how roughly the layout, because later on slide 14, I'm going to come back to this point and pay special attention to there's a field here saying copy non-ref data, because on slide 14, I'm not bringing back the screenshot, but I will be talking about that option. In the schedule section, you can configure the archive of tabs runtime. One of the three available schedule kinds can be used. The three available schedule kinds are daily, weekly, and custom. The daily schedule, where the time of day when the archiver must run, is specified. You can also have weekly schedule, where the time and days of week when the archiver must run is specified. Or if you wish to run the archiver task as required, then create a custom schedule. With that, you can also specify the days and months when the archiver task must run. Let's move to slide number 10. We will continue on configuration and administration on this slide. A criteria can be specified for the archival configuration, which includes the sending partner name, package, protocol, and the document type. If such a criteria is enabled, it is used for exporting data from the non-repudiation table and copying the non-repudiation documents from the non-grep folder. Please note that the data will be purged from all the tables. The criteria is only for archiving of non-grep data from the table and file system. On slide 11, here you can see the default criteria can be changed from the pop-up window and multiple partner, package, protocol, and document type criteria can be specified. Let's move to slide number 12. This slide and actually the next slide describe the different possible status for the archiver. The archiver task will have exactly one of the given status at any point. The schedule status indicates that the archiver task is scheduled and will run at the configured time. The running status indicates that the archiver task is currently running. The disabled status indicates that the archiver schedule is disabled and the task will not run. The disabled failed status indicates that the system has disabled the archiver schedule as the previous run had errors. There are a few more status that will continue on the next slide. Let's go to slide 13. The stop status indicates that the task was stopped by the user. This next one is my favorite. The successful status indicates that the task execution was successful. And the fail status indicates that the task execution failed. And apart from the above-mentioned status, there are some other intermediate states as well. I'm going to go over the intermediate one. Stopping, the ING, stopping, status is displayed when the current task execution is stopping as requested. Being scheduled to run now status is displayed when the task is about to run on demand. Disabling status is displayed when the task is being disabled as requested. You can notice those intermediate ones have ING. Yes, it's happening, about to happen. And those are all the status and intermediate status of archiver. Let's move to slide number 14. The archiver configuration can be updated from the archiver configuration tab. When the archiver configuration is changed, the server is notified of the change. You might see an intermediate state in the tab field as the server updates the configuration. I made this point already earlier. Just want to repeat it one more time. You need not restart the server after changing the configuration. Please note that you should not refresh the screen to check the update status. Instead, you must click the Archiver Configuration tab to view the change status. Okay, here's when we're going to pull the thing from your memory. Remember earlier on slide number 9, I asked you to take a good look at the screenshot there. Okay, we're going to use that piece of information here. On that screen, if the copy option is deselected, no data is archived, and data will only be purged from the system. And when you do that, the user is alerted by the prompt when a save is attempted with a copy option deselected. So if you have deselected, you'll be prompted at this point. It's at the bottom of the screen. Let's move to slide 15. Another administrative task that can be performed from the archiver configuration screen is stopping the running task from the screen. You'll be prompted to confirm if you wish to stop the running task. Let's move to slide number 16. I hope I give you enough time to look over the screenshot and the slides. On slide 16, this is the last slide for configuration and administration. A scheduled archiver task can be run outside of a schedule as well. This on-demand execution is done by clicking Run Now. The task will subsequently start running, and the last execution time is updated to reflect what just happened. Let's move to slide 17. The next section covers the archival reports that are available. It also covers the different events that are generated during the archival runtime. Slide number 18. Each archival task that runs generates a report. A paginated set of report listing is available on the archiver report page. This list shows the start time, end time, and status for each listing. And further, three new events have been introduced specifically for different archiver runtime status. Let's move to slide number 19 so you can take a look at what I just mentioned. On this slide, you can see it displays the archiver task listing. And the detailed report is also available for each task that ran, which can be navigated to from this page. Let's move to slide number 20 so we can talk a little bit more about what's inside the report. The archiver report details page provides details on the archiver task activity. It displays the start time, end time, and the status of the task. With regard to purging, the purge tables are grouped under the section Message Archive Table, Activity Login Table, Date Engine Table, and Summary Table. Each section has details of the tables from which the data was purged. It shows the number of rows that were purged and the time taken for purging the table. The details also show the archival criteria that was used while running the archival task. And I just dumped you a bunch of information. So on the next slide, we'll show you the actual report. Okay, so let's go to slide number 21. This Spring has recap of pretty much most of what we talked about, but to make the screen, the font readable to you, I had to trim off some of the stuff, so it doesn't have 100% of everything I mentioned, but it has a lot of them. This is just a snapshot of the archival report details page. Okay, let's move to slide number 22, please. Three new events have been introduced for the archiver. They are VCG 7000001 and 2 and 3. I'm going to cover the details now. The first event is VCG 7000001. Archiver test successful. This is just an informational event. The second event is BCG 700002, archiver test error. This is an error event, bad news. So this is an error event. And the third one is BCG 700003, archiver test stopped by user, which is a warning. And it's possible to make the events as alertable and generate alerts for any of them. Now I will turn the presentation to my co-presenter, Usha, to cover the rest of the presentation. Thank you.
Thank you, IT. Hello, everyone. This is Usha. I will be taking you through the rest of the presentation. On slide 23, Archiver Restore Overview. On the next few slides, we will talk about Archiver Restore functionality. Moving on slide 24. Now with the new Archiver, the archive documents can be restored back from WPG console itself. The data which gets archived from LG message archive tables and the non-repudiation documents which were earlier copied to the destination folders can be restored back. The restore feature is available under Archive Restore tab on console, as you can see on the screenshot. Moving on slide 25, when the archive data is restored, the database table data will be restored in an internal table, not in the runtime LG message archive tables. And in the same way, the non-repudiation documents will also get restored in some different folder of common file system, while the data is restored, you can provide the date range between which you would like to restore the data. You also have the option of appending the data to the existing restored data. Moving on slide 26. On the next few slides, we will talk about the search feature for the restore documents. Moving on slide 27. Once the archive documents have been restored, you can search through these documents as well. The search feature is available on Archiver Restore page. While searching, you can define the search criteria such as date, partner, package, and document type. Moving on slide 28. The Restore Document Viewer shows the list of the restored documents As you can see on the image on this page, you can also view the raw document. In case the document was encrypted, this viewer will show the decrypted document. Moving on slide 29, in the next coming few slides, we will cover the performance aspect for the archiver. Moving on slide 30, the new console-based archiver tool has a much improved performance. The performance of the archiver depends on the database and server processor availability and also on disk speeds. As the archiver uses the database processor for purging the data from the different tables, therefore, you should run the archiver when no document processing is happening, or make sure that the very low document processing is happening. The archiver now can potentially delete the large number of rows from the different tables. So for that, it is very important that the database statistics are current before you run the archiver. It is a very, very important step. So you should make sure that the run stats is run before the database archiver execution starts. Moving on slide 31. On this slide, we will see the different tuning parameters that are available for the archiver. Number one, BCG archive DB rows per batch. This parameter defines the batch of the data used by temporary tables during purging. Larger batch size helps in reducing the overhead of temporary tables. Number two, BCG archive DB rows per statement. This parameter defines the chunk size that gets deleted in a batch. Larger delete can cause slow purging. 3. BCG archive DB parallelism. This parameter defines the parallelism for deleting the data from the DB tables. Larger value of this parameter helps to improve DB server utilization. However, too many threads can trash the DB server. If the number of DB cores is X, then it is recommended value for this parameter is around X by 2. BCG archive activity parallelism. This parameter defines the activity parallelism of copy or purging. The maximum value is 4. 5. BCG archive max threads. This parameter defines the number of threads allocated to copy or delete the data from common file system. During our test, the default values have been found to be optimal for an 8-core DB system. The recommendation is to test with the other values before arriving at the optimal values. Moving on slide 32. In the next few slides, we will see the troubleshooting tips if in case any issue is seen while running the archiver task. Moving on slide 33, archiver tasks sometimes can fail when the destination to copy the DB data and the non-repudiation file data does not exist at all, or the destination does not have proper permissions. So ensure that the destination directory where the non-rep data is exported from the LG message archive tables is accessible by the database machine. And also it should have the enough disk space. For the DB2, the fence user must have all the permissions. And for the Oracle, the user must have the permissions to write into the destination directory. Ensure that the destination directory where the non-rep documents will be copied is accessible by the server, and also it should have the enough disk space. The user must have the right permissions to be able to copy the documents to this directory. If the destination directory does not exist or does not have proper permissions, the archiver task will be marked as disabled failed, which means the archiver failed permanently. Moving on slide 34. Sometimes if -911 deadlock errors are seen in the logs, ensure that the database index statistics are current by running the run stats command. Moving on slide 35. On the single server setup, if the server stops when the archiver task is going on, the task will not be complete and the status will also not be updated. This status will be shown as running on console. This task will be resumed when the server is brought up again. Moving on slide 36. In a clustered environment with more than one node, if a server stops before the archiver task has completed, the other available server will automatically run this task. So if the server stops while the archiver task is running, the other available server will try to run the task and complete. Moving on slide 37. Archiver-related activities will be logged into BCG server log in case of simple and simple distributed mode. And in case of fully distributed mode, the activities of archiver will be logged in BCG docmanager.log. This log file will record any error that had encountered while archiver task was running. This log file will also record the time when the archiver task started and when it has ended. And it will also record the time taken to run the archiver task. Moving on slide 38. In the next slide, we will cover the summary of the archive of features that we have discussed in this presentation. Moving on slide 39, WebSphere Partner Gateway version 6.2 has a new improved archive tool in terms of performance and usability. The archiver runs as a scheduled task, and the archiver configuration can be easily done from console. Archiver reports are also available on console and easy to view. Archiver performance is dependent on the database processor availability and the database statistics being current. Ensure that the run stats is run before the database, before the archiver task is run. The archiver task should be scheduled to run at the ideal server times or low peak times. The new archiver restore feature allows to restore the archived data, and restored documents can be searched. Here I conclude my presentation. On the next slide, I would like to provide some information about WebSphere product resources. Moving on slide 40. This chart includes the links to a number of sites that provide valuable online resources for WebSphere products. DeveloperWorks offers in-depth technical information. The events link on the support pages points you to the webcast and conference information. Visit WebSphere.org for user group information and more product information. The IBM Education Assistant consists of self-help modules to get a new users up to the learning curve quickly. The SR tool is for Passport Advantage clients to open, update, and view the online PMRs. And the My Notification link on all the product support pages lets you sign up for the weekly emails updates for the products of interest to you. I would like to turn over the presentation to Joseph now. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Aichi and Usha, for a great presentation. At this point in time, Kelly, we would like to open the lines for questions.
And we had another question come up from J. Arm. Your line is open.
What do you mean by this LG tables on the server, DB2?
LG tables are the main tables that we have on application database where we record the runtime data. So when I said the database restore, the archiver restore will not restore the documents back into this table. It will restore the data into some temporary internal tables.
That's all. I don't have anything right now. I just need to mail you back on things.
Okay, thanks.
There are no further questions at this time.
Thank you, Callie. At this time, we will conclude the presentation.